Turn with us to Luke, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a big catch of fish. The biggest catch of fish yet, I would paraphrase and say. And Simon answered. He answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Oh, that's a hard one. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners. Can you say partners? Which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Didn't sink. They wouldn't take much more to do that. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. And aren't we all astonished when we see what God has done? I'm astonished. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at this big catch of fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. I found it hard to find a title for this, just for lack of a better title, though I've preached around these areas a number of times. We'll just say partners catch more fish. But there are three words and three insights that we'll deal with as we go into this portion of God's Word. You know, anything I can learn to do the journey becomes more important to me all the time. I don't want to just mark time. I want to finish my course in victory and reach out to God in that respect. Maybe it's the rewards of not quitting. Maybe that'd be a better title. I don't know. We'll. You know, people that are hungry and excited coming to hear the Word of God is a pastor's greatest joy and dream. Really, I mean, people excited, whether it's in the youth or in the auditorium here or the singles. I mean, people that want to come, that are happy and excited about the Word. And this is exactly what came to pass. The people pressed upon Jesus to hear the Word of God. They wanted to hear the Word of God. That's exciting. Man, that's exciting. They pressed upon him. I mean, they didn't just casually come around. They pressed upon him to hear the Word of God. And obviously, there was a sufficient crowd that he realized he had to do some improvising to get the Word out for everyone's ear to hear. And these people were pressing in to hear the Word of God. I know I've said it two or three times, but I'm telling you, there's just no greater joy. You go to Uganda. I know I was talking about this with Pastor Kanja. Those people are hungry to hear the Word of God. I mean, just to see people coming in. And then these ministries that you see quite often here in the States, when they come over, they were introduced to that nation through Lighthouse Television. It would sound self-serving if I pressed it much further, but they would not know who these names are. Well, they might have had a magazine or some, but I mean, when you hit it five times a week and that thing comes in daily and you see them and you hear them, I mean, something, and you don't have a lot of other things going on in your life, life's not as complicated there as it is here, fortunately. But you know, the television has put many a ministry into 100,000 people setting there. And we were there, we've been there on more than one occasion when that was happening. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to see Jesus, the leader. Now, here the people are pressing in. And here's Jesus. I don't know, maybe he was, maybe he had this kind of a stance. Maybe he had his hands folded. He was scanning the crowd. And is he wasting time? No. He is praying, Father, how can I reach these precious people? How can my voice reach every one of them? Not just a few, but he's standing there. He didn't do anything for what period of time? I don't know. The Bible just said that he was standing there. And as he stood there, obviously God showed him what to do. So here is Jesus, quiet in prayer. And this may not be the most revolutionary thing you've heard, but God's impressed it on my heart in a greater way. When you don't know what to do, just hold steady. Sometimes we think we have to do something. When you don't know what to do, Jesus was hearing from his Father what to do. And then he does something which to us probably would seem very strange. A solution to the problem comes to him. And he, in his spirit, knows the answer. He sees the answer. Empty boats just happened to be available. Not boats that were loaded with fishermen or people. People pressing to hear the word. Jesus just standing there getting a word from God. It's amazing what God will tell you if you just hold steady. And you know, sometimes he'll test your patience or your whatever you might call it, he'll speak to you in some of the strangest times and places and situation that you normally would say, well, when I have more time tonight or in the morning in my quiet time, we'll think. You better listen when he speaks. Sometimes it's only one word. Sometimes it's a few words. Sometimes it's a sentence. But I'm telling you, God has an answer to your questions. God has a solution to the impossibilities that surround your life. And so Jesus, the leader, now sees a solution for the problem. And a pastor or leader should be a seer. And it was a good problem. It was people that wanted to hear the word of God. And so he approaches those that have the empty boats. And they're washing out their nets. And it looks to him like it's all over. Looks to them like it's all over. And Jesus says to them, I want to use your boat. And there's not a boat in this house that Jesus can't use. There's not a boat in this house but that Jesus desires to use your ship, your boat. Whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you come from a poor family, or whether whatever. Every one of you have a ship that Jesus desires to use. You have gifts, giftings, talents, abilities that are uniquely different than other people. And so there were two ships idle. It's interesting, the Bible talks about these ships. And they're not catching fish. No clue is what to do. They're washing their nets. The day is over. Fish are to a fisherman what people are to a pastor or what money is to a merchant. No fish, no money. No fish, no bank payments can be made. So empty boats and washing empty nets means the day yielded them or the night yielded them nothing. But Jesus gets on board. And when Jesus enters your ship, and you let him use your boat, something's getting ready to happen. You say, I can't teach like someone, or I can't preach like someone, or you should have seen me when I started. God has brought me 10 million miles, thank God. But when you let Jesus get on board your ship, things are going to start changing. And Jesus said, I need your boat, and he's saying the same thing today. Now, he asked them to thrust out from the land. And now he teaches the people. And his voice carries out over the water. Empty boats, empty nets, empty hands of the fishermen. Nothing to go sell, nothing to take to the bank. But Jesus comes on board. And Jesus begins to teach and minister. And I tell you, what the whole thing was all about is Jesus has come. Joy has a little hand vacuum, and I wanted to use it for something. She said it needs a charge, so she plugged it in, and I couldn't use it at that moment because it needed a little more charge. But I'm telling you, when Jesus steps into your boat, you have an instant charge. You have an instant reserve. And he teaches the people. And what he's teaching them, I don't think I've seen it quite like, it's so simple you can just miss it if the Lord doesn't make it real to you. All right, here they are, toiled all night, empty boats, empty nets, frustrated, no money for the banker, no money to pay taxes, toiled all night and caught nothing. But now Jesus comes with the answer to their dilemma, the Word. And he's got a captive audience because they're on the boat. So he didn't just go out into the water on his own. He's got that crew that caught nothing, and they're now hearing the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing, all right, low word level, low faith level. Low word level, low faith level. And that's true no matter what a church calls itself. Isn't Jesus awesome to get them cornered in the boat and they don't have a choice? They've got to hear the Word of God. You know, you can be word starved around a word church if you're not careful. Because you need more than just what I'm telling you. You need to read that word for yourself. But there's something about hearing the word. The anointed word being spoken. It's to be read, to be sure. But it's also to be heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now Jesus teaches. And they didn't have a choice. They were listening. And I want to say something I've said so many times. You take care of God's house. You take care of God's work, and God will take care of your house, and God will take care of your work. And so they let Jesus use the boat, and he's teaching. And after he gets through teaching, he says, now you're able to handle a little more meat. Sometimes we think we're a lot more spiritual than we really are. It could be that way. So he starts off on the level where they are. Just move away from the shore a little bit. Do what you can do. Don't have the faith for offerings, give tithe. Do what you can do, lest you do nothing, Wayne Meyer says. Mr. Evangelist Wayne Meyer says. Now after he teaches, he says, launch out into the deep. Stages. Into the office. What's your background? We found out about your background, Brother Gary. Didn't realize that God had prepared you. And so from the status of a volunteer, now you become a candidate for a national television station. And then you get there and you find out there's still a lot to learn. Because no Bible school can teach you everything you need to know. We get you started. We give you basics. And so when you're on the ground, then you learn this and then you learn that. Things that you could have never learned here, you learned there. Step by step. From the Philippines to the United States to Uganda, from Florida to Dallas, Fort Worth, to Uganda, step by step. Folks, if your faith is halfway intact, we're on a journey this morning. We're going step by step by step by step. Oh, I'm still taking steps. I'm still learning. Everywhere I go, everything I do, every nation I go to, every service I come to, I'm learning things here this morning. It may just be one thing, but that's one thing more than I knew before. And so, no fish, empty boats, zero, nothing. Now they hear the word. Now he says, launch out. Launch out into the deep. It still looks impossible. The opportunity, the excuses. Oh my, as you look at all of this. But here's where so many pastors and lay people have been at one time and are now. God's answer to nothing. We've all had seasons when we toiled. Some of you may be toiling here this morning. I have seasons when I toil. I'm learning better. But you see, this word toil is so interesting. It simply means that you labor to the point of loss of strength, even pain, exhaustion, fatigue, weariness, even working for God. I heard a powerful man of God this past week say, I worked so hard. And I enjoyed preaching many, many times and preaching many, many times. But he said, God said, you're working too hard, preaching too many times. And so he listened to what God had to say, one of the greatest faith men in the world. Because if toiling's all you're doing, you're going to have a challenge there. Are you with me? So first of all, I want to go back to that word toil. I want to go back to that word. It means to work, to labor to the point of loss of strength, even pain, exhaustion, fatigue, weariness. That's why a lot of pastors, and some of you may not be conscious of this, but that's why so many ministers resign after a building program. They're trying to keep the word level up, and they're trying to minister to the church, and they're trying to, you know, a part of the budget, making decisions. And I mean, you know, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands, or nowadays churches can be millions of dollars. And they're so weary when it's over that they don't have the strength to carry on. They need a break. They need a time between. Now, we've all had seasons when we toil. We gave, and we gave, and we gave. We prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. We attended church, and attended church, and attended church. And pastors do all of these also. I wished I could tell you I felt every service like I feel on given times. Man, there's times I think they're going to have to drag me off this platform with a log chain. Man, you get in the anointing, and when you just experience that wonderful, wonderful anointing of God, you don't want to quit. It's work, but it's good work. And you're speaking the word of God. But we've all had seasons. We've all had seasons. We gave and we prayed. Now, I want to make a statement, and I've heard it six times this week from six different people, so please don't get mad at me if I'm a 50-plus year veteran in the ministry, and I've pastored enough years. Let me just give a balance in something that I've heard six, or is it seven times? Seven different people, because there's a truth to that, but it's not a straight line truth. What does Galatians 6, 9, 10, right in there? What does it say? Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. How many have ever heard that verse? If you've ever been around church for any period of time. Now, I want you to hear my heart, because I have every right in the world to say what I'm saying, because I'm bringing balance to something that I've heard. I've heard it in convention. I hear it around here. I've heard other people say it. And I know there's a statement. To continue to do what you're doing and expect change is insanity. But now, wait a minute. Whoa. That's a partial truth. Because if you follow that through, you'll stop tithing. You follow that through, you'll stop praying. I've prayed and I've given and I've given and I've gone and I've gone. I've given of myself. That's partially true. And you have to know where the line is there. But I'm going to tell you something. I learned something. If there's any secret to this ministry, any secret to my heart, you keep doing what God told you last. And there's other things to learn in other directions. I've done some very radical things in my ministry and in this church. I mean, you study what we've done. We've taken some real radical steps that are radical in the church world. But you don't just go radical because you get a bright idea and go radical. There's a blessing in keeping on doing what God told you last. I hope I'm expressing my heart. And you know, just like I gave, someone gave me a little thing. This man sent his son to college, but this man, the way he was sending his son to college and the way he had been a successful man, he sold hot dogs. And he stood by the side of the road at crossroads and he'd say, "Best hot dogs in town." And people bought his hot dogs and he had to buy bigger ovens and a bigger warehouse and a bigger inventory. And the man just kept making money. And his son came home from college. It's been several years ago, and he said, "Dad, what's wrong with you? Don't you know there's a depression going on? It's in Europe and it's working its way to the United States of America. Don't you understand Europe's in trouble and America's in trouble? We're in a time of economic depression." And the father said, "You know, the boy's been to college. He ought to know what he's talking about." And so he downsized everything and went broke. Are you following me? I say he should have kept selling his hot dogs. I say he should have stayed by the turn of the road and said, "Best hot dogs in town." But you see, he listened to a negative voice and backed off of what was making him successful. You know, folks, there's days you don't feel like doing what you do. There's days you don't feel like going to work. And every once in a while you'll have a day you don't feel like preaching. It's a rare day, but you do. But you keep doing what God told you last. And you keep showing up. And you keep praising the Lord. And you keep worshiping God. And there's a certain, you need to just read the Word of God. The Bible said there's things you need to keep on doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. So you have a little challenge in your throat. You don't get mad at God and quit the music ministry and just say, "I'm going to sell hot dogs." Or do No, you take care of it, and now you're ready to go for the next part of the journey. We don't quit. You don't quit on your first day, and you don't quit on your worst day. There are things that desperately need to be changed, but there's things you don't need to change. And if you change them, you change them to your own detriment. How many people financially have pulled out of something that was good and got themselves in something that they lost everything they had? Don't live by knee-jerk. Or don't live by the latest book or the latest bulletin. Or the, you know, I was listening to the radio one day, and I mean after about six financial people, and every one of them said the other one doesn't know what he's talking about. Somebody's got to know what they're talking about, but obviously the six were not agreed that the guy on either side of them. In fact, one guy, he said, "I'm just going to flat out tell you as I come on the air today," big power station here. He said, "I've been listening to these financial experts all day," and he said, "I'm coming to you live," and he said, "None of them know what they're talking about." And I know, and let me tell you, how you can not lose your money and, you know, how you can come through. Yeah. I mean, I thought, boy, that's pretty bold. Somebody's going to have a collision here. Don't quit on your first day. Don't quit on your worst day. Don't quit when you lose when you should have won. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep doing what God told you. Now, there's times, and how many times has God said, okay, go to the left, go to the right? I'm radical when I know I've heard from God. I'm not afraid. My track record proves that. But I don't just jump and run at everything that moves. So anyway, I hope I've made my point and made it in a relaxed and a compassionate way. First of all, when you're in one of these times, take time to hear the Word of God. Pray without an agenda. Praise God. Put on a praise tape. Praise God without an agenda. Oh, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to make... Nah, you ain't going to make God do nothing. Good try, but he's bigger than you are. Pray without an agenda. Praise and worship without an agenda. Give without an agenda. Bless God, I'm going to name my seed. If God doesn't come through, I'm going to that pastor's office and I'm going to find out what this... No, come on. Hey, just relax and enjoy the journey. Just release your praise. Release your worship. You know, we need to come to church and say, you know, if nothing extra happens today, I did something right. I came to the house of God. Until I went into the house of God, then understood I, David said. David said, I just couldn't figure anything out till I got to church. And I'm telling you, God has answered more questions for me sitting in my own services or listening to someone else preach, and I'm sitting there. It's amazing what happens in an atmosphere of the anointing of God. Amen? So take time to hear the Word of God. Low word level, low faith level. Listen just to be fed. Relax. No demands. There's a song that came out a few years ago. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. You know, we just need to do something because we appreciate it. Hallelujah. We appreciate God's faithfulness. I've told the story before a number of years ago about my daughter Susan. Susan came in. She had some polish and she found a little shoe thing that I had. And she came up and she said, okay, Daddy. She said, I'm going to shine your shoes. And I gulped because that was a better pair of shoes. And I didn't know where she's come from. But, you know, she did it, and she did a good little job. I mean, she, you know, put a little dab on it and did some things she'd seen other people do. And when she got through, I got ready for the hitch, you know. I said, okay, Susan, what do you want? What do you want from Daddy? I'll never forget that look on her face. She said, Daddy, I did that because I love you. I don't want anything. You know, we need to have that same attitude toward God. Lord, I just want you to know I thank you. We're the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. Thank God we have food, we have clothing, we have shelter. Thank God for friends. Thank God for you. Thank God we survived a horrendous thing that a lot of people don't survive. She said, I just wanted to do it because I love you, Daddy. Man, my heart melted. You know, what else can you say? It's all said right there. All right, number one, take time to hear the Word of God. Secondly, deal with your frustration of the fact that you've toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, that's a frustration. I've toiled all night, I've caught nothing. I mean, especially for a fisherman, I mean, that's the ultimate blow right there. You've toiled, you've worked hard, you've worked to the point of exhaustion, you've thrown those nets over and you're going to get those fish and going to bring them into the... But you pull back an empty net. You've got to deal with your frustration. You know, there's a lot of things that I gave thinking certain things would be different. There's times I've helped people thinking things were going to be different. There's times that I've taken a piece of my life and of our finance or of our time... just believing that we were going to make a difference, and it didn't seem to make a bit of difference in the world. In fact, people criticized you in the process of it. Now, that's all of us. That's not just me. We need to deal with past frustrations, because frustrations can find a lodging place in our heart, and it leaves the door open. And I find out if you leave doors open around our place, 'tis the season, you'll find a wasp flying around in your house. Because you left a door open, or there was a little crack, and they're looking for some cool air. See? Am I making sense? Take time to hear the Word of God. Read it, hear it. Deal with your frustration of the fact that you've toiled. But you don't know all I've given. You don't know how long I've worked, how hard I've worked. Nobody appreciates it. We've toiled. We've worked very hard. We didn't just toil. We toiled all night for a long time. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. False hopes and expectations. I thought something would happen, but I've caught nothing. I gave, but I caught nothing. I prayed, but I caught nothing. I did what the pastor said, or what one of the staff said, but it just didn't work out. Toil, nothing. But the third area that I want to emphasize is nevertheless. Toil, so you've toiled. Join the club. We all have toiled. I really toiled. I worked all night long. I toiled. I had hopes, but it seems like there were false hopes and expectations. You know, everything you do is not going to turn out like you want it to, even around a church. Well, I just knew I'd be driving a new car like somebody else. You know, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but I had a very dear friend in the ministry. He heard somebody else gave away all the furniture in their house and gave their car away. He'd been to Rhema, and he could have been anywhere. And so had four children, gave away their car, one car, gave away all their furniture, and they slept on the floor for 2 years and walked back and forth to the church. You say, explain that. They weren't wise. You don't just do something because somebody else did something. You don't just give every. God could say to you, give it all away. Could do it, but you better be sure that's God. Because that's not the only story I know of when someone did something very extraordinary. Now, it can happen, but you just hear from God. But I mean, the whole family walking for 2 years. I'm pastor of a church, need a car. Have to borrow a car to go to the hospital to make hospital calls. And all the furniture, I guess they had enough to cook. And the house was empty. Just make sure you're hearing from God. I toiled, but nothing. And they said, Lord, we've toiled all night. Verse 5, and have taken nothing. Pastor Nichols, explain that to me. I gave a bigger offering than I've ever given before. I came to three services in a row. I came to youth service. Well, let me tell you, there was a businessman, he's going to be with the Lord. He was sitting on losing everything he'd ever worked for, which is close to $4 million. And I mean, after that, he was flat busted broke. Owned a big piece of land out close to where we live. Sizable piece of land. The problem was his banker encouraged him to borrow money to buy it. And then when he couldn't make the payments, now his banker's getting ready to foreclose on him. He came to me one day, lived two doors from us. He said, is this Robert Nichols? I said, yes, sir. He said, the one that used to live on Fifth Avenue? I said, yes, sir. The one with Jewel Nichols and R.V. Nichols? Yeah, that's one. He said, well, I thought that was you. I only office a couple blocks away from that downtown location where we were. He said, can I come to your office? And he came in and took his hat off. You know, the old school was kind of interesting, you know. the respect they show. Took his hat off. He knelt in my study. And he said, Pastor, I'm about to lose everything I've got. He said, if God doesn't help me, I'm going to die a broke man. And he was up in years. I said, all I can tell you is start reading. And he was born again. I said, start reading your Bible stronger than before. He said, well, I'm not getting anything out of my church. I said, well, I can show you a church where you can get something. He started attending he came to the ladies' services. I mean, at the end of the ladies' service, he was the only man there. But he'd come down front and want all those ladies to lay hands on him. Wept like a baby. He said, if God doesn't bring me out, he said, I'm going to lose every. And he had worked very hard. He was a very prominent man in Fort Worth. We were in a difficult time. He brought in a fruit jar that had more quarters than I've ever seen in my life. He said, Pastor, that's all I've got right now. And we put it in the ministry. But thank God, thank God, thank God Almighty. One day he called and he said, Pastor, my land sold just in time. And he said, I'm not going to die broke man. He said, I can pay my bank off and I can come out with a couple of $1 million. He said, I can live in, I could live in dignity too, a couple of $1 million, but... And he said, thank you in the church. And he didn't quit coming. He still kept coming. But I still see him in those ladies' services, Joe. You know what I'm talking about. And I mean, just like as humble as a little child, back was against the wall. But God brought him through. Spirit of God's moving in this room today. Spirit of God's moving in this room. Lord, we've caught nothing. Nevertheless. Oh, say it with me. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, it hasn't worked. We worked all night. We're exhausted. We're tired. But you said so, Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word, hallelujah, I will. See, there it is, your will. No one's going to make you do it. I will to let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Nevertheless, I'll do it again. I'll believe again. I'll pray again. I'll put it on the line again. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going after it again. I'm not going to quit. I got off my faith, but I'm back on my faith. I'll give again. I'll hear again. I've heard from God. I'll launch out. And suddenly the Bible said there was a great multitude of fish. Boat seemed like it was going to sink. And the net seemed like they were going to break. And then they said, oh, it's so sweet. How sweet it is. You know, I have a dream. I have a dream that no church in the city can hold all the people that are getting saved. I've had that dream a long time. Maybe need to talk about it more. Not transfer here, you know, not all this moving around. But I have a dream that no church that preaches the born-again message in the greater Metroplex area, no church can hold the crowds that are coming. They're going to have to go. Every church is going to have to go to multiple services. Not trying to get somebody else's members. Not trying to shift this or be the biggest this or the fastest growing that. Because they're winning souls to Jesus. I have a dream. A multitude of fishes. Not just for me, but I pray God for every church in the Metroplex. A great catch. Partners! Partners! Help us! Our boats, we can't hold any more fish. Partners, help us! Okay, we're on the way. And two boats catch more fish than one boat. Two set of fishermen catch more fish than one boat. And we all live happily ever after. You know, when you're busy catching fish, you don't have time to fuss and argue and ping off the wall. I walked in one of our rental properties in our first location over on Bear Street. It was an insurance company. And this man sitting at the, he said, "This is Pastor Nichols." He's just across the street, said, "They're our landlord right now." That's been many years ago. And that man with tears running down his cheeks, he said, "This man just led me to Jesus." I said, "What?" I knew what he said. I just wanted to hear it again. He said, "I came in to do some insurance business, but this man led me to Jesus. Now I'm born again. I'm going to, I mean, just like a little child." Kind of had a little Italian bro, you know. He said, "This man led me to Jesus." And I mean, we all three of us just praised the Lord in that office. Oh, thank God, thank God. Jesus needs your boat. You're not too old. You're not too young. I heard something this last week. I thought, have I ever read the book of Genesis? I thought I had. 47th chapter of Genesis. When Jacob came from another nation. And he had such expertise and such ability. And the Pharaoh looked at him. He said, "How old are you?" He said, 130 years old. Now that's old. How many know 130 years is old? He said, it just says right there in King James, "How old are you?" It doesn't make a difference how young you are, how old you are. It's how young you are at heart. You still love Jesus, still love to win souls? I sat there at old Robert's feet, 90 years old. Man, I mean, the anointing was just coming off there like, I mean, there are about 10 ministers. I mean, it's hard to stay on your feet, hard to sit still. I mean, 90 years old. But he said, "I'm still anointed. I still have the power of God in my right hand. I'm still blessed. I still have a work to do. And I'm so excited that you brothers came to be with me today. And I just can't wait to lay hands on all of you." Oh, glory to God. How old are you? 90? You can't get out in 10 crusades anymore. Yeah, but I'm working my living room right here. And my right hand still works. I remember some preachers before said, "He says he's got the power of God in his right hand. So? How long has it been since you felt the power of God in your nose?" The power of God. The anointing of God. Oh my, 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 my. We've toiled. Yeah, Joe and I have toiled too. How many times have I walked in that room? And I said, "Lord, we're still believing. We're still believing." Yeah, we toil too. We're human beings too. But my God said, "Nothing shall be impossible."